Hey guys, for episode one of our Family Gaming Review podcast, we're going to talk about Costume Quest 2, Inside, and Arrow. Hey guys, what's up? It's Michael from Family Gaming Review, and as always, I got my main squeeze, my candy corn, my John Oates of Daryl Hall, Camille, our senior blogger, game reviewer, and podcaster.
Candy corn abstains.
We'll explain that in a few moments. But this is going to be a weekly episodic podcast that we're going to do. When we do reviews here, a lot of times our reviews get lost in the shuffle. If you've ever been to the great world of the internet, you'll understand why. And then there's times where parents don't have time to read a review because Camille tells me I'm too wordy in my reviews.
You're not too wordy. You're just very...
Wordy?
It's like the insert of a Tylenol bottle. It's very clinical.
For the safety of all Family Gaming Review members here, I'm just trying to say that I'm trying to be as detailed as possible for your digital purchases, and I'm trying to make the best purchases for you and help you make those best purchases. That's why I'm very cynical.
You're very thorough.
And thorough.
Yes.
Like a clean pair of underwear.
But we do get... and we're very blessed to get a lot of games to review at Family Gamer Review, and we cannot always do video reviews. We are a very small nonprofit team, and so we're opening up some new ways that we can help you, the gaming family, the parent, the guardian, whatever you may be, to be more educated and have fun being educated about gaming choices for your family. And that could mean children, it could mean special needs children, it could even mean adults only. Yes, we do review mature rated games because guess what? A family that games together stays together, and sometimes there's nothing better for date night than having a blast on the couch next to your significant other with a controller in your hand. So,
very true. One of the big questions that comes out is when we do game reviews is like, okay, you guys are a family game review, but why are you doing a review on a mature rated title, which is one of the titles today we're going to speak about, which is Inside. And the reason why is, just like how Camille said, is not everyone in your gaming family is a child. Or you may have, you know, a special needs member, loving member of your family that is not 8 years old and doesn't want to play Super Mario Brothers. They want to play something more age appropriate. And we... as we do our playtesting and everything, we do it from a spectrum from someone at the age of 5 to 6 years old all the way up to 60, and even if necessary, literally, to my father-in-law, that's 80.
Yeah, quite literally. The average gaming demographics are now into the mid-50s, and even my own father at 83, bless his heart, is starting to realize that today's gaming world is not the duck hunt of the days of old. It's incredibly diverse, incredibly artistic, just so very different.
Very much so. Yeah. So let's get into the quick reviews. Well, not quick reviews, but the first game we're going to talk about is Costume Quest 2. Now, Costume Quest 2, and Camille's chomping at the bit at this one, came out in October 31st, 2014. It is rated E for everyone. We gave it a score of 7, but what Costume Quest 2 is, imagine if you have a gamer in your family that wants to play role-playing games, RPGs, how people call them now these days. Some of the most famous games in our society are RPGs, like from Final Fantasy VII to Dragon Age. I could go down the list. Even Mass Effect, that's more popular in the current genre, is a action RPG. And role-playing games are simple. You take the role of a person or character, and you get equipment and stats, you build your stats, you build your equipment, you build your experience.
Or characters.
Or characters, yeah, in this case. And as you build, you get stronger, your weapons get stronger, and it's like a long-term adventure. I would always say that a good RPG would last you 40 to 60 hours. And sometimes some people, because of their work schedule or school schedules or life in general, don't have time to invest in 60 hours into a game, where others do.
Candy corn has a long shelf life.
You're going to find out about why. I'm going to punch Camille in the face. But Costume Quest 2 is kind of more like your intro to an RPG. And storyline is simple. You're, you know, brother and sister in Halloween, and I don't want to give away the story too much, but an evil dentist wants to stop Halloween, and you have to stop this evil dentist from, you know, stopping Halloween.
Candy corn fears no man.
Exactly. See, this is where this gets very questionable. So
candy corn has a point.
So what happens is that in this game, it's kind of like an light RPG. It's very lighthearted. I enjoyed it. A lot of our testers enjoyed it itself here. The basis is simple. Your children that you play as, each one of them gets to wear a different costume. And you choose the costume. One of them is a candy corn. The only bad thing about the candy corn costume is it cannot do anything other than make, you know, satire. Just like Camille on a Wednesday night.
Candy corn has your back.
See? So, and it's a turn-based game, so, you know, you choose if you want to attack or defend, or you want to run away in case the enemy is too much. And each character takes a turn and attacks the enemy, which is usually like little monsters or robots and so forth. And at the end of each level, when you defeat the enemies, you get experience and you get new abilities and so forth. I felt this was a charming little RPG or a intro to RPG, and I loved it. I think this is a great game for anyone that is looking to get into role-playing games but don't know how how all the bases work or how to micromanage menus and so forth. This is a great game for people that want to get started into RPGs. I'm going to let Camille talk about the mom aspect. Oh, I'm sorry. She's known as Candy Corn today.
Candy Corn has a prior engagement.
See? And I'm going to let Camille kind of talk about this for a few moments. So I'm going to grab this little rubber washer that fell off the table. Go ahead, Camille.
Everyone, thank you for being with us. Thank you for humoring me with the quotes of the infamous Candy Corn. You'll know if you pick up the game why Candy Corn is the funniest, most endearing character, as useless as he may be. Well, I don't know if it's a he or a she. It's a candy corn.
Oh, well, candy corn's a costume in the game that you could wear.
Right, but candy corn's only power is the power of short phrases that are funny. But in general, I loved Costume Quest 2 because it's an RPG, and if you're not familiar with RPGs, I would say that as the gaming industry began to evolve and RPGs came out, Mike, what were a couple of the first RPGs?
On Nintendo, it was, if I remember correctly, Dragon Quest. On the Sega, it was Phantasy Star, which is a very popular RPG. It grew into Final Fantasy and Square back then. It wasn't even Square Enix. It was Square that brought out some phenomenal ones. Which one was Chrono Trigger was another one. Secret of Mana was another one on the Super NES. Of course, Phantasy Star and Shining Force on the Sega Genesis.
But my point is that they were one of the first types of games to really branch away from the sort of simple-minded kind of, you know, either run and jump or shoot at the flying bird.
Yeah, like the platformers or the shooters. RPGs are very sophisticated in their own. They're kind of their own beast because they do incorporate elements of different things, like different genres. But RPGs are meant to sit down, kind of like a Dungeons & Dragons tabletop game, where you're there to experience the adventure, more or less. And, you know, that is what makes RPGs so unique. RPGs also can be very difficult to learn because they have a high, steep learning curve.
And believe it or not, that's actually one of the reasons I love Costume Quest 2 so much, because, first of all, I really have a deep appreciation for RPGs because the role-playing aspect, it's not just that you're playing as a character. You're playing as a character in all games. But the nature of an RPG is that you have an adventure, you have a purpose, a mission, you have resources, you may have weapons, you may have power-ups, and by weapons it could mean throwing magic. but there are different types of magic or gemstones or whatever the case may be. But my point is that all those different variables that turn it into, quote unquote, a role-playing game have a lot of cognitive benefits to it. You know, they make the gamer think. There's a lot of decision making. There's a lot of resourcefulness. You need to be strategic. And so while your gamer is having a good time and loving the story and going along with the adventure, little do they know that their decision-making skills, their resource management skills, and their strategic thinking are actually being exercised. And like Michael said, a lot of RPGs can be a little bit more, or a lot more, advanced, depending on what you choose. And Costume Quest 2 is sort of like miniature golf is to real golf, in that if you have a younger gamer, or a young gamer with special needs, Costume Quest is a perfect way to get introduced to the RPG category and start flexing those brain muscles without overwhelming them, without it being too complicated, and also without it taking up, anywhere between 40 and 100 hours commitment.
Exactly. As an experienced gamer, I like to call myself as such, I've played a great number of RPGs. Two of my favorite of all time is Chrono Trigger from the Super Nintendo days, and Final Fantasy is up there, but Phantasy Star 4, which was another one. And I could say from experience of playing those games where you have to manage your armor, your weapons, your health, items, your defense items, finding locations to heal, experiencing everything that an RPG is, Costume Quest 2 takes the very lighthearted approach to make it very easy to pick it up and play. Whether you are an experienced RPGer like myself or someone that has never touched an RPG like Camille. She's mm-hmm. never seen an RPG.
This is true. I've never been one for RPGs because I've never... maybe I have commitment issues when it comes to 40 to 100-hour games, but...
She is candy corn, of course.
But... you know, Costume Quest 2 was so easy to pick up and play, and it was just so endearing and so funny that even though it was appropriate for all of our testers, both special needs and otherwise, it was also a game where Mike and I could sit on the couch and just crack up laughing. At Candy Corn's little wisecracks, and it was just fun.
It was a fun game, and parents, I highly recommend. You know, it's inexpensive right now on both Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and even on Steam. It's very inexpensive. You're looking at roughly 8 to probably 10 hours of gameplay, I would say.
How much is it going for?
I think it's
ballpark?
Probably $14.99. I could be wrong. I haven't taken a look. When we first got the game itself, it was some time back, and unfortunately, we got overlogged with so much other games coming out, so it kind of fell on the back burner. But this is something I would personally recommend for you guys not to miss. This is something that even if you have a gamer that's getting sick of the running guns or platformers, this is a great break for any gamer to play because it's lighthearted, it's funny, it's endearing. I think it's funny because the kids themselves in the game have humor. There's no violence to the game. There's no language.
There's no profanity.
No profanity. You know. Thank you. And it's just a very great game, even for parents to play with younger children. Both of you could play on the same controller, guide each other, like say, hey, you know, we got to do this, let's do this. It's a great family bonding game, I would say.
I would agree completely. You know that I'm a stickler for, you know, having some cognitive benefits to a game. I love it when gamers are actually benefiting, you know, in a way from a game, whether it's just calming them down or actually, you know, getting that gray matter moving upstairs. But I also ask about the price because a lot of the games that we review are so great and could have such tremendous benefits for a gamer, but they're not priced the same as your AAA blockbuster titles with multi-million dollar budgets, because a lot of what you're paying for with those games is that multi-million dollar marketing budget. And so if you take into account that you're not paying for $60, $70 games with a lot of our reviews, it means that you can get a lot more mileage out of your digital library by paying attention to what the indie developers are bringing out.
Mm-hmm. That's how you're going to hear a lot from us. Go out there and support these indie devs. These guys and girls put a lot of hours into their games. We're not endorsing just one. We're there to speak for all. Yeah, and these guys and girls put their heart into it, and they do a great job. But because they don't have the multi-million dollar marketing budgets to put it out there, a lot of times they do get lost in the shuffle of something you see 10 times during a professional sports game. You know, an ad for something else. But we're getting sidetracked there. So, again, guys, Costume Quest 2 is a phenomenal game. Great game. Camille and I give it a thumbs up, even though you can't see it right now. Candy Corn doesn't have any arms, so.
All right, let me find a good one.
Oh my, she actually has a list of what Candy Corn says.
I actually pulled up a list of everything that Candy Corn says in the game, because that's how endearing this game is. Yes, it's fun. Yes, it's an adventure, but my gosh, is it endearing, you know? Candy Corn has nothing to prove.
Yes. So with that being said, let's move on to game two, which is from Playdead, Inside.
Now, oh boy.
This is like, if you had to go on the spectrum of the yin and yang, as we just finished about Costume Quest 2 about being such a great family game, Inside from Playdead is... I'm just going to put the disclaimer there, because we do not put any type of restrictions on the games we test, from early childhood to mature. Playdead's Inside is a mature rated game, number one.
You sound like the needle just scratched on the record at a party.
Yes. If you're not aware of Inside or even the company Playdead that made the game, they made a game before this called Limbo. And I love Playdead. I think they're a great studio. And Inside, to give you an idea...
For everyone else, he means developer.
Developer, thank you. Inside is a story about a boy... And I don't want to go too much into the story because we're trying to keep it spoiler free. But it's about a boy that's heading into a facility. You don't know what's going on. You don't know why he's doing this. You're not understanding what the purpose is or what's attracting him to get into here. But it's like, wow. It's like watching moving art is one of the words that I could think of right now to say. Now, this game is mature rated. It does involve... graphic death scenes of the boy. It is a boy, like 8 to 10 years
nothing
age.
Nothing grotesque.
No.
Not like, you know, there's nothing graphic. I think it's best to first explain the graphics of the game. It is sort of, would you say, comic book style, kind of?
I would say it's a darker... shades, like darker grays, blacks. It's not comic book, I would say.
Oh, well, not comic book in the color scheme, but I mean just in the fact that
more of a graphic novel in sense.
Right. It's cartoony, but not too childish. It's animated.
That's probably the best word. It's
right,
animated.
It's animated, so it's not like the deaths that you would see on a TV show or a mature rated movie by any means. But yes, the character does get hurt or killed in some parts. You know, there's not blood splattered everywhere. He just sort of falls down and you start over.
Yes, and there's scenes where if you get caught by one of those people, I'm not going to say who or what, you know, they may choke the boy to death, or a dog may maul the boy to death. There's scenes where you have to swim, and if you don't come up for air, the boy will drown. The death scenes kind of make it a little uncomfortable for certain gamers because of the fact it's mature rated. But I can't even start to describe how beautifully well done this game is. There's no audio dialect. minimum sound, like as in background music and so forth. There's no hand holding. There's no thing to tell you like, okay, push left to do this or push right to do that. It is an action platformer puzzler, meaning that you have to platform in times in the game, and there's puzzles within the game that you have to figure out. It doesn't tell you what to do. It doesn't tell you how to do it. You just have to figure it out on your own.
Mm-hmm. And what we described in terms of the character's deaths throughout his mission or his
purpose.
That is really one of the reasons that we feel that. What did the ESRB give it?
They gave it a mature rating, and I agree with it.
Not surprised. Now, we do agree with the mature rating, but we feel that in the case of Inside, that mature rating might bend a little bit to include your older teenagers, say 15 and up. And the best analogy that I think I could give would be like taking your child to a Jasper Johns art exhibit where it's some of the most amazing, thought-provoking art you've ever seen. But for young kids, it might just weird them out a little bit. It's just weird. It's not that it's profane. Like you said, there's not even any spoken dialogue in the game. So there's nothing that could be offensive audibly, you know. But it's a better example. When I was a young kid, I saw Willy Wonka, you know, in the chocolate factory. And that scene where they're on that little boat going through a tunnel and Gene Wilder is singing that strange little tune and the worm goes across the guy's face. When I was 6 years old, 8 years old, that freaked me out. I walked away from that movie like, what did I just see? Willy Wonka is sick. And I was very disturbed. But when I saw the movie again as a teenager, I was like, yeah, it's weird. But I moved on. I wasn't weirded out by it. It was like, okay, you know, worm across a guy's face, no big deal. They're going to a very strange factory with little people. And, you know, it was just weird, but it didn't disturb me.
And I agree with Camille. I'm still weirded out by Willy Wonka, but that's still just me. I'm 41 years old, and I'm still weirded out by those things. But getting back to Inside is a beautiful game. Do not let the rating of the game discourage you from experiencing this. I agree 100% with Camille about the fact that this game is a mature rated game and should be played by anyone over the age of 15. Again, parents, because of some of the death scenes, there is a little bit of nudity towards the end, but it's nothing that is showing anything that you would expect to see. It's just skin color, and trust me, it's so quick that
more like looking at a mannequin.
Exactly. Briefly. Thank you, Camille. Exactly. It's more like looking at a mannequin. But the one thing about Inside that intrigued me about this is the ending, or your interpretation of the ending,
or the alternate ending.
There is an alternate ending based on what you do in the game that will get you what is considered a true ending. We're not going to spoil it here. We have the review coming up on Inside later on this evening after this podcast gets posted. But I would say for the older adults in your gaming family, or even yourself, if you're the head of your gaming family, it's around $14.99 or $19.99. I cannot remember on the Xbox One store or the PlayStation store. I think it's $14.99 on Steam, but this is something you don't want to pass up. This is something, it's about 8 to 10 hours long, depending on how quickly you go through it, if you use a guide to go through it. But I will say that the game itself is beautifully done. The puzzles are very thought out. It yes. makes you think outside the box and says, wow, I should have thought of that. Or, wow, that was easy. Why didn't I think of doing that first? It's not frustrating. and it's not punishing. So if you fail a level or your character gets killed or whatnot, it's not like you have to restart the whole game over again. You could start off right where you left off and, you know, kind of do trial by error and, you know, do the correct thing to move forward.
Mm-hmm. And the one word that I can't get out of my mind when I think of Inside is artistic. It is so artistic. Even having seen both endings, I myself am still not sure at what conclusion I should draw. And, you know, that is one of the hallmarks of any great art, is that it leaves the interpretation up to the viewer, or in this case, the player. And if you're an adult who's never played a game before, you'll probably walk up to the controller and the couch and say, oh, you know, this is too juvenile for me. And I guarantee you, by the end of the game, the only word you'll be saying is, huh.
Trust me, I personally, when I finally got a chance to test the game and play the game, I and Camille were up around 3:30 in the morning on a Friday night. Yeah, that just shows what happens when you turn 40 and you don't go clubbing anymore.
Oh, stop.
Candy corn agrees.
Life begins at 40.
But it made me at 3:45 in the morning after beating the game and getting the alternate ending, coming to the internet and asking the question, what really happened? And again, no spoilers, but I encourage you to play the game. And then you'll see for yourself why I'm saying this.
And this was one game where Mike and I had no argument or debate over what rating the game should be given or how great the game was. The only debate that we had after playtesting was the appropriate age at which a child would be, or a gamer, I should say, not a child, at what age would a gamer be able to appreciate such a level of artistic, mysterious, I guess you could say, mysterious, because there's no hand-holding, there's no on-screen text, you know, telling you which button to press or where to go. So there's definitely that mystery there, but it's so artistic that our discussion was really about at what age would a gamer be able to truly appreciate this art. And that's something where, you know, sometimes you know your game, well, all the time you know your gamer best, we hope, but there are some games that need to be on a case-by-case basis. For example, Ashley is an artist, mm-hmm. has been for years, so...
Oh, excuse me.
At, 13, I would say she would be fine to play the game. She's a big Attack on Titan fan, and, you know, she's accustomed to seeing animated death. So I think Ashley at 13 would be more than able to handle, you know, the artistic nature of the game without being freaked out. But if your child is not artistic, or they're maybe not as accustomed to...
Or that maturity level. Yeah,
yeah, the maturity level. You have to know the maturity level of your gamer in order to know whether or not they'll be freaked out. And, you know, I think that, you know, we're leaving people in a little bit too much suspense. There's apparently some sort of, in the game, some sort of experiment.
Let's not go any further. I
don't want to go any further, but, you know, at least that's what I gather from it. That's what I'm presuming from, you know, what I saw, is that it had to be some sort of experiment.
It's all left to interpretation of mm-hmm. what's going on, and, you know, we're going to leave it at that. But, guys, this is more... it is a mature rated game. Like how Camille and I were saying, base it on the maturity level of your younger gamers. If they could watch, I'd say, something like Civil War, Captain America Civil War, or Star Wars, and they may be mature enough to understand it. I still say 15 and above.
That's definitely the safe mark.
But again, you know, use discretion when you you know, when you let your younger gamers play something like this. Right. But for the older gamers, this has to be a must-have experience.
And, you know, that's actually the best way to approach it, is to play it yourself, because it is a mature-rated title, which means it is deliberately made to be entertaining and engaging to an adult. So play it yourself, and then you'll know without a doubt whether or not a younger gamer will have just as positive an experience that you had.
Mm-hmm. So let's go ahead and talk about Game 3, which was my personal favorite this week when we were playtesting and doing the reviews. And I apologize for the developer that is listening if we mispronounced the game, but I'm going to call it Arrow.
Arrow.
Imagine a rail shooter. And what a rail shooter is like when you're on a rail, like a roller coaster rail, and you have a spaceship, or you're a shooter, or you're something, and you're piloting, and you have to mark enemies and shoot the enemies with like a little targeting cursor. Imagine a rail shooter had a child with a game, something like DJ Hero or Guitar Hero, a music rhythm game. You're probably asking yourself, Mike, you have lost your mind. But Arrow is one of those games that came across our desk that I personally love. The music in the game is EDM or dubstep or trance that you would say. I sent Camille a list. I'm going to look at the list myself.
Mm-hmm.
Of, let me see here. You know, Flux Pavilion's one of the people that's on there. And this may become a different language at this point. You know, but the music in the game is what makes the game so unique. And what I'm trying to say is that the game is all based about your spaceship. You're in a different world. You have to shoot enemies. But every time you shoot them and they explode or whatnot, it makes, like, a part of the song happen. Not happen, but it mixes into the song. And then there's white ribbons in the game that you must pilot through. And you'll see in our video review when we post Arrow later on tomorrow, where it plays the music. If you don't hit the ribbon, the music cuts away, kind of like DJ Hero or Guitar Hero or Rock Band. So it's kind of a mixture of a shooter mixed with a music rhythm game. And I personally gave it a 9 out of 10, and I love it. Oh my god, I love this game. It's phenomenal. I'm not just saying that because I'm an EDM fan, but I'm just saying is the developer, Mad Fellows, they just did a great job. I can't say enough. They did a great job on this game.
This is one of the few games I know that... We did the 30-day Light It Up Blue Challenge, where we featured a different special needs friendly game every day. And only once in that whole month did I say about a game that I felt that I wanted to stand up and shake the hand of the developer and ask them what brought you to create such a piece of genius. And this game is just out of this world, no pun intended. I think that, yes, it's a shooter in that you're pushing a button and you're shooting at notes. You know, so, I mean, I don't know if it's proper to describe it as a rail shooter, because you're not shooting enemy ships, you're not shooting people, you're not even shooting characters, you're shooting beats. You're using, you know, like I said, I love games that have a great cognitive aspect of it, and until Arrow, you know, in the realm of games that help cognitive skills, especially games for special needs kids, I didn't think it was possible for a video game to really cross that boundary into physical sensory. Because in a video game, everything's digital and on a screen, right? Excuse me. Bless you, Mike.
Thank you.
But in Arrow, it actually broke that wall and brought sensory skills to be physical, where you are physically interacting with the music on the screen, but the music is presented, like Mike said, as a ribbon, or it looks sort of like a beam of light. Now, as the harmony goes up and down that beam of light or that ribbon of light, it changes. It goes, you know, up, down, you know, to the track. And then when there are beats, that's when you're shooting the beats, the drums, mm-hmm. in the track. And it's genius.
It is. It's so well thought out and done. I like I said, Mad Fellow Games did. They just knocked it out of the park. And like how Camille's describing. So imagine a ship that is it is on a rail. When it's not a physical rail, you see, it's a path more or less. Mm-hmm. And then when you get in between the shooting aspects of the game, you have to travel on this beam of light to keep your bonus multiplier up while you're in sync with the music. And if you hear very closely as you're shooting the ships that are coming at you, they'll do that little drum snare or kick that goes with the music. Now, before you think, oh, it's just another shooter or shrimp shooter or so forth, it's not. And before you even think it's an easy type of music rhythm game, it's not. This game is little, as you progress in the game,
mm-hmm.
it will get a little bit more difficult. So it's meant to challenge you, but it's also meant to, you know, keep you entertained at the same time. What I loved about what they did in this is that there's a chill out mode, meaning if you don't want to play the game where you're constantly looking to make sure you don't crash into a wall or get killed by an enemy while you try to keep the rhythm, you could go into the chill out mode and play each one of the tracks on each respective level. And this also gives great practice also. I caught myself many times when I was playing Gears of War 4 with Camille this week, where I just needed a break. I would actually go into the chill mode of Arrow and play because I love the music so much.
Yeah, not only did they knock it out of the park with the music, sure you can go online and get a playlist. You know, but they did work very hard to license some really great music for Arrow. Like Mike mentioned, Flux Pavilion, Bass Cannon is actually one of the, I guess you would call it, levels.
Yes.
You know, because each track is a level. And it's funny, I can almost see how Mike views it more as a shooter, whereas I focus more on the musical aspect of it, because I'm just so blown away at how a developer was able to cross that boundary and make a game that has sensory stimulation and get physical with the gamer, where mm-hmm. you are physically in the game. You may be shooting, but what you're actually doing as you're flying is you have to stay in sync with the harmony. And when you're shooting, it's because that's where the beats are in the track. So it's a lot like, you know, something like Guitar Hero had a game child with, what would you say, like Galaga, or
I would say more or less Panzer Dragoon for some of the older gamers mm-hmm. out there. It's a great game. It came out on April 4th, just about a month ago. We gave it a 9. It's available currently on the Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and PC. The developers and the production team at Mad Fellow Games was nice enough to give us a copy of one for the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. I could tell you from the playtesting, both on the special needs side and regular side, there is, other than the controller itself, there is no difference between the two. Mm-hmm. I even got a chance to check it out on PC. I would say this, if you're an EDM fan or a dubstep fan, I would highly recommend playing this game on a nice surround sound system to enjoy the music. Or if you have a nice set of headphones, you know, definitely this is one of those games that, you know, you want to, you know, use the headphones on and enjoy the music. But again, monitor your gamers, you know, usage of headphones and extended right. use.
If you are not an EDM fan, you may prefer for your gamer to use headphones, but that said, you know, it's just such a fabulous game. It really, pardon me, it really is, because It's also a great chill-out game. It's such an engaging game that it's also very calming at the same time, because as you are getting in sync with the music, you're also sort of getting in sync. It has such a calming effect. I can understand some parents in the kitchen, you know, not necessarily having the same love for dubstep or drum and bass, but it's such a great game. It really is. It's a great chill-out game if the day's been a little too hectic, or if you've got a special needs kid who just came out of a really chaotic environment and they're a little too worked up. This is a great chill-out game. But, you know, if you're EDM fans like we are, it's also a great chill-out game as an adult. I mean, it's just a work of genius.
And I'm hoping Matt Fellows listens to this podcast, and if you guys have DLC, we would love to see more music in the game. Oh my goodness, this is one of those games, I'm telling you guys, this must not be missed. This is a must-have, especially for those gaming members in your family that are big EDM fans.
It's also a great party game, too, if you think about it, because, you know, it's fabulous party music, and, you know, people could take turns playing.
It's always, you know, it's a score-based game to see who could score the highest, who could get, you know, get the best score and so forth. So I would highly recommend it.
It's, what I mean is that it's not as though there's a long, continual story to it. So if you were to put it on chill mode, I could definitely
see. You could play the game in chill mode and enjoy the game for the music. Not to go into spoilers, the game has some kind of path to it, but again, I'm not going to spoil it, so.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there is a path.
Oh, excuse me.
You know, which is why Michael did mention not all of the levels are easy peasy. You know, the game does increase in difficulty as you go through the levels, and in my opinion, that's part of the beauty of it. You know, because your gamer's getting better and better at being able to cross that barrier between sound and touch. And I think that's the best way to put it. It crosses the barrier between sound, sight, and touch. Mm-hmm. And I've never seen a video game do that before.
So there you have it for this week. We have Cost and Quest 2 that we reviewed very quickly, Inside, and Arrow. Now, all these reviews are currently going to be up. We have Camille still proofreading all my super text for Inside, and Arrow should be up, our actual written review, possibly by tomorrow, which is going to be Friday the 12th. Now, any questions from this podcast, you can always reach us on all our social medias.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, we're at Family Gamer Review. Facebook is probably the best way to reach us, next to Twitter and Instagram. As always, guys, you know, we always keep the family in mind when we do reviews, but we do reviews for every type of game. And how Camille always says,
a family that games together stays together.
Very much so. And again, guys, go out there and support those indie developers. You know, we wouldn't have these great hits if it wasn't for these indies, guys. I'm Michael from Family Game Review.
And I'm Camille.
Thank you so much for attending our podcast, and we'll talk to you next week. Take care.